I'd like to return to our central thought of last Sunday morning, 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. The Lord has still been impressing it upon our mind and our heart. And a portion of that scripture that we used said, "Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." I would like to restate some of the things that we said last Sunday concerning the plan of God for our salvation. I made the statement that it was not piecemeal. P-I-E-C-E, just a little time. He has much more for us than just a little bite. He wants you and me to have the fullness of his plan. I think about Sister Catherine Williams. She was a very dear person to me, and she was in a lot of ways a mentor to me when the Lord called me to the ministry. And I valued the things that she said to me and the instructions that she gave. And one time she said, concerning the ordinance service and the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, she said, "Maxine, don't just take a little tiny piece." She said, "Most everyone just takes a little teeny tiny bite." She said, "Take a full bite. Enough that you can chew it." The same with the cup. Don't just take a sip. I know we have to be careful about all of these things, but what she was meaning was take the fullness. Take it into your life. What it represented to us. What do we say? What do those say that administers the cup and the bread? Oftentimes, if I am in that position, and we know almost everyone by name, most, I love to say the person's name. I love for it to be very personal to them. And I say their name and I say, "This represents the body that was broken for you. We need this to be personal." If it's the cup, I like to say the name and say, "This represents the blood that was shed for you." So that's the plan of God. He didn't go part way. He went all of the way. We all know how it was when he went into the garden. He labored to have the grace. He was the Son of God. And yet he relied upon the grace and the power of his Father to carry it out. The scripture tells us he could have called for 10,000 angels. He could have come down from the cross. We have writers, songwriters that have written songs, penned those words. He could have come down. But oh no, he stayed on the cross. He could have drawn back. It's just so important for us that we understand the plan of salvation is so complete, and that the price that was paid was a full price, which gives you and me full salvation. We have the whole plan. I think about the scripture. This wasn't given last Sunday. It just comes to my mind. Of the Beatitudes, and it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But that's not the one. I want the one that about, let me turn over there just a minute in Matthew, the 5th chapter. And the Lord inspired this to me one time and inspired my faith of what heaven represents for you and me. And it is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Have you ever been poor? Have you ever been poor in your spirit, where you knew it was only God that could help you? You could not help yourself. And so it says that when you and I are poor in our spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I read this somewhere, I've written it down in my Bible, and this is what was inspired to me. All that it stands for, all that heaven stands for, is at my disposal. That's what the plan of God is. Whatever your need is, it's there. He says, I will supply all of your needs according to what? According to his riches in glory. He has all power, and he can give you and me all power. Thank the Lord. So the plan of salvation was at a high price. It took all that he could give. I heard somebody make this statement. It's not a bargain basement price. Salvation, you cannot bargain basement shop. You know, we're in a time everybody loves a bargain. You love to save a dollar here and a dollar there. You like the coupons. You can't get a coupon and get this full salvation at a reduced rate. You can't do it. It's not for anyone that's not willing to go all the way themselves. We have a song that says, Jesus paid it all. What's the rest of it? All to him I owe. I owe him everything because he gave his all. Thank the Lord. I thought about salvation and how it's complete deliverance. And I said this last week, how that salvation was meant to break the power of sin or bondage in a person's life. And we have the scripture, we won't read it today, but Jesus said it himself, what he came for, to set the captives free, to heal the bruised, to enlighten the eyes, and all of those things, you know, you're familiar with those. But I thought of the scripture, and I don't know that I have it written down. I do have it, but I'm coming to it. About the old man. You and I were once in a category of being called that old man. We all know what that means. And we had to be made new. We had to be made alive again. And I'd like for us to sing the first three verses of 470. Let's not sing the chorus. Let's just sing the verses for the sake of time. And concentrate on what those words are saying. Let's not just sing them because we know them. Let's really concentrate. This song is from death to life. That's the plan of salvation. So let's sing that.
From death to life, oh Lord.
Name for me.
Picture of full salvation. We made the statement last week, and it had to do with our first verse that we read here. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. We talked last week about what godly sorrow was and what the sorrow of the world is. You cannot have full salvation and have the sorrow of the world. That is a person that is maybe sorry they got caught. But they're not sorrowing unto repentance and to salvation. I made this statement last Sunday also, that salvation produces a complete change of the mind, the conduct, and the desire. Do you believe that? We must believe that. We must believe that the power of the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse you and me from all unrighteousness, because that's the word of the Lord. He didn't put us here just to live halfway or straddle the fence. That's a miserable way to live. Unless you and I give our all and we go all the way, we're miserable. To just live part way is miserable. To allow the enemy a portion of your mind. This was said to me one time. I was going through a difficult battle. Now, when we go through the battles of life, and it's a real contest to our salvation, that happens. It was Brother Philip that spoke these words to me. And he said, "Sister Maxine, if you give just a portion of your mind to the devil, it will make you 60% less effective." That got my attention. I ask myself, am I willing to be only 40% effective for the Lord? I could ask you that. How much victory do you want in your life? 40% or less? How about 50%? You willing to settle for 50% victory? I'm not. I want 100% or not at all. See, that's what's true, full deliverance from the powers of Satan, hell, and darkness will give you and me 100%. So I say it to you today. If you give a portion of your mind to the devil, it will make you 60% less effective. I hope you take that home with you. I believe it. And you know, it was the thing that caused me to pursue for that victory that was 100%. Don't stop short of anything less than 100%. Thank the Lord. So, this word produces is something I would like to work with today. I'm going to do it through a word that I saw in the dictionary. I was studying this a little bit. And the word is efficacious. Is that how you pronounce that? The root word is effect. Efficacious. Or effectual salvation. This word means, it means power to produce the intended result. Now, the plan of salvation is perfect. There doesn't need to be anything added, doesn't need anything taken away. You and I can't add anything to it, or we will, what? Suffer. The scripture says if we add anything to the word of God, or if we take anything away from the word of God, there is a result of that. We will suffer the consequences of adding to or taking away. But the plan of salvation is perfect and entire and wanting nothing. It has the power to produce the intended result. So the work of salvation, or the result of salvation, is what? The deliverance from the power of sin. Now, the world does not believe you can be delivered from sin. They believe that you and I and all people sin more or less every day. That you cannot live free from sin. Wouldn't that be sad if Jesus gave his life and we believed that too? That we could not have the power for the intended result of salvation. So I'm going to say this, that from the moment, and I'm going to say it this way because we spoke about Christian and Pilgrim's Progress last time. From the moment that the burden of sin rolled away, what happened? What was the result? Well, you may say, well, it's not magic. Is salvation magic? No, it's not magic. We don't read these scriptures and we talk about when the burden of my sin is rolled away and there's got to be a result of that burden of sin being lifted out of my life. So I say it like this, that's the beginning of your journey. To have full salvation is just the beginning of a journey through a person's life. And it is, salvation is ever working. It's ever working the power of deliverance. Why do I say that? Because the scripture says, we know not what a day will bring forth. We don't know what our battle is going to be tomorrow. We don't know how we're going to be tested. We don't know how the enemy is going to attack me. Does the enemy attack us? Yes. It is part of the battle. It is part of our salvation because he hates the name of Christ. And he hates every child of God that pursues full deliverance, full salvation. He hates that. And so his purpose is, and we've said it and others have said it, that he's willing to work a lifetime for your soul. But on the other hand, we're always encouraged to give the counterpart to that. Christ, God the Father, is willing to work a lifetime for your soul too. And he has the power to produce the result to give you and me the intended result of salvation. Thank the Lord. Well, let's turn now. If you want to read, I'm going to be just basically paraphrasing Ephesians 4 and 22 through 32. And this begins with talking about the old man. And it says that the old man is corrupt. Do you ever think about where you once were? Do you remember that? Did you know that we need to remember where we once were? We need to remember who we once were. We need to remember where we once were. Where were you? Some people feel they've been pretty good. Oh, I've never done this. Or I've never done that. I've never robbed a bank. Well, I've never smoked a cigarette. And I've certainly never tasted of drugs. And we can just feel like we're pretty good if we have never done some things. But in reality, if we were not washed in the blood and had the full salvation, we're just as lost as the man that did all of those things. And we had to see ourselves as exceedingly sinful. We had to hate the sin, ever how good it seemed to be. We had to learn to hate it in order to see our need of being washed free from it. And so the old man was corrupt, no matter how good you were. It was still counted in the eyes of the Lord as corrupt. And the scripture even tells us that we need to remember the pit from which we were digged. And we need to never lose sight of that. Why do I say that? Do I want the burden of sin to always follow me? That's not that. It's to remember where I was so I will never go back to it. The scripture talks about a dog that will vomit. Oh, it sounds gross. But it's the word of the Lord, and our humanity can do this. And the dog goes back to his old vomit and takes it back into his life. We've got to remember where we've come from and not go back to it. Not in any way. Remember, I can't give the devil a portion of my mind. I'll be 60% less effective. And in time, he can have the advantage, and I'll go back to my vomit, to the pit that I've been dug out of. The scripture says that you and I need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Our mind is so important. I don't want to do without my mind, do you? I don't want to do without my mind. Sometimes we can be so vexed in our mind, so troubled in our mind, that it's very natural for me to want to sleep. I was there. After we lost our daughter, that was one of the hardest times of my life. And yet, I wanted to sleep all the time. Why? Because I didn't have to think. And when you and I get in these places, it's natural for us to want to put it out of our mind. It's not, you and I really aren't capable of just putting something out of your mind. I sometimes have difficulty sleeping at night. I've tried different things to try to make myself sleepy, to go to sleep in the middle of the night. At one time, and my mind was running, and I thought, well, if I just think of the word nothing, and I just keep my eyes on the word nothing, and I say the word nothing, then all of this other will have to leave my mind. And so I tried that. I got this picture in my mind and I just said, nothing, nothing, nothing. But all of those thoughts were right on the edge and they kept trying to come back. You can't do it. It takes the Lord to take these things out of our mind. So the scripture here says, have a renewing of the spirit of your mind. We can only get our mind cleared. It can only be renewed by this fullness of salvation, by turning to the one that can help us with all of the vexations of our mind. Now I will tell you this, and this is my testimony. It's just been a few years ago that I went through this, and the congregation here has heard me testify to it. It's awful how we say, well, we've gone through some hard places. We go through hard places. And you're not going to make heaven without it. I'm sorry. That's just part of it. But I was going through this real hard place. And it was a very hard place to forgive. And I was so vexed in my mind, I couldn't pray. I could only say two sentences, and then my mind was so troubled, I couldn't focus. And the Lord gave me these words, and it worked, and it's become a tool, it's become a weapon ever since. Don't you know what the Lord gives you is going to be useful for the rest of your life? You can use it again and again. Don't forget that. Don't forget what the Lord does for you. And so these words came to my mind. Lord, cover my mind. Cover my spirit. Cover my emotions. You and I are emotional beings. And we're affected by the things that are in our mind. It affects our spirit. We don't have victory. We can't overcome. But it affects our emotions. And let me tell you, when you're affected with your emotions, it runs wild. I don't care what it is. I don't care how strong you think you are. When you're affected in your emotions and in your mind and in your spirit, the devil runs with it. And so the Lord gave me those words. And by faith, I began to say those words while I was trying to pray. Lord, cover my mind. Cover my spirit. Cover my emotions. And I got calm. And I could say two sentences. And it was back. What do? Give in to it? No, you say it again. Lord, cover my mind. Cover my spirit. Cover my emotions. I got calm. Two more sentences, and it came back. I gained the victory by continuing to use those words that he gave me. And I'm going to say, I believe they're powerful words, and you can, by faith, claim them also. You can use that weapon. The Lord wants his people to be able to pray effectively. You can't give the devil a portion of your mind and be effective. You can't do it. We have to have all of the mind of Christ. So you've got to be renewed in your mind. And then it says, you put on the new man. That's a choice. You take on the ways of a new man. Recognize those places that are the enemy wants to use to ensnare you and trap you and cause you to utterly fall. He's got a plan. And it says the new man is in righteousness and true holiness. It's not just a little bit of holiness where I feel good. My conscience is eased. That's the sorrow of the world, where I just feel good about myself. But this is in righteousness and true holiness. And then we're going down through those passages, just touching them. You put away lying. Why would we have that as a part of this message this morning? Because I'll tell you something, the devil can just trip you real easily, and you can almost say you lied when you're trying your best to be truthful. Let me give you an example. And I'm speaking from experience. Had a call this last week, and I was totally unprepared. I want to say something here. Stay prepared. You can't be prepared for everything because you don't know what tomorrow will bring, but get the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. But anyway, the person asked a question that was really none of their business. And either way that I answered it would have given them their answer. I came away from that call and I went to Lauren and I said, I just almost feel like I lied. I went before the Lord with it. See how the enemy will try to work with your mind? Did you know we don't have to answer every question that's been posed to us? If it's really none of their business, it's better for you to say, I choose not to answer that question, rather than to answer a question that sounds like it's this way or it could be that way, and then you come away feeling like you've lied. We need to have the wisdom of the Lord and be prepared. And so I went before the Lord with it, and I asked him to cover that thing with his blood. And I said, if this particular thing ever comes out, I will correct it with that person. Right now, it's not an issue. It's just imaginations on somebody else's part. Don't let yourself be put in a place where you come away and feel like you've lied. That's the trick of the enemy. It says for us to put away lying, it says for us to put away anger, and it says for us to put away wrath. In our humanity, sometimes we can be angry, and the enemy wants to take advantage of that too and make us less effective. And then the next verse after that says, do not give place to the devil. Doesn't that go with everything we've said so far? And here it is, the word of the Lord. Don't give place to the devil. Don't allow the devil a place to torment your mind. Don't give him room. And then it says, let no communication. What kind of communication? Corrupt. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But what kind of communication are we to have? We need to have communication that is edifying words, the scripture says right there, that minister grace to the hearer. You know, if we made that our motto, we'd have a whole lot less trouble, and we would cause others less trouble. If we put this as our little motto, Lord, help me to communicate with edifying words that minister grace to me. No, it says to the ones that hear us. Oh, what a valuable lesson we can learn in this. We'll be so careful with our words. We will not speak. You know what the scripture says about a man that utters his whole mind? You know what it says? It says he's a fool. You and I should not ever utter our whole mind because there could be thoughts there that are maybe not true. Maybe we've been influenced by somebody else. Maybe somebody else has planted some thoughts in my mind and it really wasn't that way at all. And so it's best for you and me to not utter our whole mind, to leave it with the Lord and to allow the Lord to bring it out into the open. whatever needs to be brought out into the open. We need to minister grace to those that hear us. Scripture next says, grieve not the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's see how important it is that we please God and that we please the Holy Spirit. The next one says, and the subject of that sentence is you, because it's that type of a sentence. You let all bitterness. Oh, I want to tell you, the devil wants to work on our feelings, on our heart, on our mind, emotions, our spirit. He wants bitterness to be a part. Okay, let's just say, if we allow just a little portion of bitterness, oh, we don't have the whole thing, just a little portion, how effective will you be? Bitterness is spoken of in the Bible as being very dangerous. It's dangerous to my soul, but it's dangerous to my whole family. And that's where it will begin. If I allow bitterness in my heart, in my thoughts, if I allow that thing to have just a small portion, don't even have to have the full portion, the scripture says it will go out and many will be defiled. Do you know what happens in a family if the parents are bitter? Will the children be bitter? I'm going to say absolutely and entirely it will pass on to the children. And it will go beyond that. It will not stop with the children. The children will get married. And that thing will pass on to the next generation if it's not overcome. If that generation, or if one of those people, one of those individuals, the parents, the children, if they don't say, the buck stops here. You know the saying. It's really a political saying, but it's a spiritual phrase that we can apply. I'm not going to allow this in my life. Even if it's over here, this is where it stops. I'm not passing it on to my children. Oh, let us all fight bitterness. Even a portion. No portion of bitterness should be in our life. We must fight it. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. It has to be you putting it away. Now, God will help us if we really mean it. If we really mean it. If we prove, last week we brought two scriptures in about bringing forth meat for repentance. One said, bring forth works for meat for repentance. That means I'm proving I want this. I'm proving I want salvation. I'm proving I don't want to be bitter. I'm proving I don't want wrath in my life. I'm proving I don't want anger. I'm proving I do not want evil speaking, evil words coming out of my mouth. I'm proving I want my conversation to be edifying to those that hear me. I'm proving it because I stop it by the grace of God. Oh, you have to seek for the Lord to help you. The last verse of that passage says, be ye kind. Now, told you everything to put away, and now this is what you replace. Some of you that know some of the things that I say about rebuking the devil, and how we say, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, that's resisting the bad. You have to replace it with the good. I claim the power of God. I claim this, I claim that. That's replacing the bad with the good. Now this is what it's doing. Now be ye kind to each other. Be tender-hearted. Cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, give me a soft heart. Give me a tender heart. Give me a forgiving heart. He will do it. Forgiving, the scripture says in that last part there, as Christ has forgiven you. That's the effective result of true salvation. It's the effective result. It's effectual salvation. It's ever working. It's the power of your deliverance. It's producing salvation effects. I'm going to touch on this just a little bit from Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. And again, we won't take time to read it all, because we're all very familiar with this. But there was a king that had a servant that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, a servant is one that does not have a high-paying job, and he did not have the resources to pay it off. To pay off his debt. And so the lord of that place, he said, okay, we'll sell you and your whole family, and you'll have to give me everything that you owe to pay off this debt. Now just think about it. You've got to be sold, and your wife and your children, and you have to give him all of your assets, and he will be satisfied, but it probably wasn't sufficient to pay off 10,000, talents. 10,000 talents. So he appealed to him. And he said, oh, be patient with me. He said, and I will pay you all. And he pleaded in such a way that it touched the lord of that place. And he had compassion, and he loosed that servant, and he completely forgave the entire debt. Now, we all know what this represents, because you and I had a debt of sin that we could not pay. We could not save ourselves. No matter if I had been sold and all of my family and every asset that I had, it would not have completely satisfied that debt. And the Lord was so compassionate, he loosed the servant and he completely forgave all. And the thought came to me, imagine the freedom that that man felt as soon as he heard it. No longer in debt. I'm free. You know, we have Dave Ramsey is on the radio. I don't know if any of you have listened to them, to him. I occasionally do if I'm out in the car or something. And to tell you the truth, I love to hear the debt-free cries. And people, you know, they drive long distances and goes, and they're in his studio live, and maybe they bring their children and they've all practiced the debt-free cry. Don't you like it? Don't you sort of feel what they're feeling right then? I'm free. I don't owe anybody anything. And then they give their scream, and oh, before they do, what do? They tell how they got there. They tell how much they paid off and how they sacrificed. And Dave Ramsey always says, if you'll beans and rice and rice and beans and just make great sacrifices. He says, if you'll live like no one else, then someday you'll live like no one else. He's got all of these little phrases that he puts in people's minds, and then they get a hold of it, and now they're debt free. And they give their cry for everybody that's on the air to hear. I like that. I want to tell you, this freedom here is greater than that. The freedom that they feel, that this man felt, is the freedom that you and I can feel when we are totally forgiven. It's all under the blood. I remember Christian, when he was endeavoring to come to that place where he could get rid of the pack on his back. Remember that part? And he came to the cross, and there was an abyss, and the pack fell off and it was gone. And yet, what did he say? He said, "Well, I almost feel like I still have it, like a man that wears a hat and takes it off. He still feels like he has a hat on." But do you know, it wasn't long until he felt the total freedom of not having that backpack of sin in his life. So I just imagined what this man felt. You would think that he would never forget it, don't you? And you know, that's what you and I need to also remember. We can be saved and we can have the joy of salvation and the deliverance and feel that freedom, and we go on with life, and then we just sort of get used to feeling it. And maybe we have to say, "Lord, renew my mind as to what it was." But this man soon forgot what was done for him. And it said that he went back to his job. I said that because he was with his fellow worker. So they were both on the job. And all of a sudden he remembered that this man owed him 100 pence. Now, a pence is the smallest amount of money. And what did he do? He demanded payment. And the man said the same thing he said. "Oh, have mercy on me, and I will pay you all. Have mercy." The scripture says that this man took him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe." And then he would not be compassionate. He was not merciful. He would not forgive the debt, though it was tiny compared to what he owed. And then he put him in prison. "You're going to be in prison until you pay me all." Do you know that's what people do to others? Because that's what this whole lesson is about. It's about me being forgiven of the debt of my sins, and yet getting offended with someone else, and I'm just going to put you in prison. And you're not getting out until you pay the full price. Well, his fellow servants saw that, and they went and told that Lord. And that Lord, what did he call him? He called him a wicked servant. He no longer had the favor. He took him and he said, he told it to him. He said, "I forgave you of your whole debt. Did you think you should have done the same? Don't you think you should do the same? We should do the same." Lord said, "I had pity on you." And then the end result of this man, he said, "Now you will be tormented until you pay the whole debt." In the last verse of that passage, Jesus said this. He said, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone, his brother, It didn't leave anyone out. It didn't leave out, well, this situation is different. I have a right to feel this way. But the scripture says if we do not forgive from our hearts everyone their trespasses. The same thing. Now I'd like for us to finish up in 2 Corinthians 7 now and 11, because I want to end with the result of full salvation and what it is to do for us. And this particular verse, verse 11, it's going to give that. The beginning of that verse says, ye sorrowed after a godly sort. Now, if we have come up short in any of these things that's been given today, if we find ourselves maybe not forgiving when we have been forgiven of all, if we will repent with godly sorrow and allow the effects, allow that effectual salvation produce the power of the end result, this is what will happen. It says, oh, what carefulness that it wrought in you, that it worked in you. Why? Because I stood back and I saw that the Lord said, if you do not forgive, he will not forgive you. And all of a sudden I saw that I could be lost, that I could be lost in a devil's hell. It's going to work something in me, a carefulness. I'm careful with my soul. I'm careful how I talk. I'm careful how I feel. I'm careful about the thoughts I allow in my mind. I'm careful when I sense that I am being offended, that I resist it. The scripture says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do we love his law? We won't give in to an offense. We would use that scripture. I will not be offended. I will not receive an offense. It says, oh, what clearing of yourselves. Oh, when we feel clear. Wouldn't we feel like that man that was just forgiven of that debt? How free. Oh, I'm clear in this matter now. It's all washed away. It's covered with his blood. Listen, the scripture says that you and I will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We need to testify to our victories. Oh, what indignation. I couldn't figure that out at first. Indignation. I'll tell you what it is. You're indignant toward the very powers of darkness, the very powers of Satan, and where he wants to take you. You're just standing up straight and tall. You're not doing this to me any longer. That's what indignant. I'm thinking about that song, and I didn't look it up. Maybe somebody can look it up, and maybe I don't know the verses. The wages of sin is death. Oh, we sing that song sometimes. If you have that, if anyone has that song, maybe we... I will part with thee, O Master. This is my firm resolve. You're not doing this to me anymore. You're not doing this to me anymore. I'm indignant. Oh, what indignation. If I have this full salvation, I'm going to be indignant toward the powers of darkness. This is my firm resolve. You're not doing this to me anymore. Oh, what fear. I want to tell you, you and I need the fear of God. We need to fear to displease God. It is not the paralyzing fear. I've got a burden to maybe sometime preach on fear. Some of these I just have a burden. The next one, oh, what vehement desire. This is the result of the power of true salvation. This is what it will do to us. I will have that vehement, that passionate desire to please the Lord, to do those things that are right in His sight. Oh, what zeal. Oh, what rigorous pursuing of purposes of God. Do you ever pray for the Lord to renew your zeal? When you first get saved, you have such zeal. But it can slip away. Oh, we can ask the Lord and He'll refresh us with a fresh supply of zeal for His work and for your soul and the souls of others. Oh, what zeal. Oh, what vengeance. You know what that word vengeance means? And I was studying this, I was thinking, well, how does that fit in here? Vengeance is to get even. What are you getting even with? With the enemy of your soul that is trying to take you and me to a devil's hell by resisting him. And the scripture says to resist the devil and he will flee. It tells us that he is like a roaring lion. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. He is wanting you. And he is wanting me. Take vengeance. Get even with the devil. Don't allow him to have a portion of your heart or of your mind. And then the last part of that verse says that you've proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Whatever it is. Whatever that the enemy is trying to take you down, you can prove to him you're not going to give in. Thinking about that song also, I'm giving up no ground. I'm giving up no ground. Have that resolve. I'm not giving in. I will not allow Satan to have a portion of my mind, my spirit, or my emotions. Because if I do, I'll be 60% less effective. Pray for me.